Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You are listening to the 3&D Pod. I'm your host, Justin Lewis. You can find me on Twitter at J_TimberFake_. You can find the podcast on Twitter at 3&D Pod. I should probably actually be a little bit more active with our podcast Twitter. I haven't been, check out the rest of our podcast. Also, the Starting Five podcast, the Core Four, and TPB Live. You can find Grizzly Bear Blues on Twitter at SBN Grizzlies and online at grizzlybearblues.com. And you can find my co-host at Not the Golfer, Ben Hogan. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I probably should be more active on Twitter as well, but there's been a reason I haven't been as much lately, but we'll talk about that later. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. We're both dealing with our different episodes with our babies right before we got on here. We're starting about 30 minutes later than we had planned to, but you know, such is life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the baby comes first.
That's
always right. Keeping us on our toes.
For sure. So let's just jump into it. It has been, I'm going to jump in with this. You, sir, were triggered on Twitter today by one LeBron James.
I was.
Tell me about it.
It's not just LeBron. I mean, Luka did the same thing last week. And, you know, you see all these Laker fans. It's the complaint about the play-in game. LeBron didn't say a word about it until the Lakers, you know, he returned from injury and the Lakers are on a slide right now, and they slid all the way down to the sixth. I believe they're in the sixth spot, right? They slid all the way.
Yeah, they're six.
They slid all the way down to the sixth. I think Dallas is 4, Portland 5, Lakers 6, and they slid all the way down. And he's not happy about it, but you know, tough. Win games now. You don't have to worry about it later. I just think, like, if you didn't. People threw articles of 2018 when he said that play-in tournament would be dumb. And then last year he said, you know, when the league stopped due to COVID, it'd be cool to see all those teams at the bottom, like, are fighting for playoffs, like Memphis, Portland, Sacramento, all the teams that were kind of competing for that eight spot. The real reason the bubble was actually put together was, it seems like, because a lot of people had a problem with the Grizzlies holding that eight spot down. You know, the Pelicans, they wanted the Pelicans to get in. The Grizzlies held on to it, and well, for a while. And they got into the play-in with Portland. We know how that went. But still, it kind of felt like, well, sure, LeBron's going to be for a play-in because the Lakers are going to be a top seed or two, you know, last year. So it weakens whoever plays them in the first round. They already have to have – they're already worn out by having a play-in game or two or three even – to get in there. And this year it may wear them down because they may have to play in the playing game. And it's like, you know, don't complain when it benefits you, but complain when it goes against you. I mean, I just think it's dumb. And also, you know, people thought, well, what would Jordan do? Jordan would drop 60 on the team that they're playing in the play-in just for making him get out of bed that day to go and play basketball game. I mean, that's what Jordan would do. He wouldn't complain about it. He'd be like, he'd say something after the game, like, I told you it was dumb.
Yeah, I'm not a LeBron fan at all. Never have been. And a couple of the reasons are exemplified by this, amplified by this. He's a whiner. And he feels entitled a lot of times. And this is, it came across as very entitled. And it came across as very whiny. Like you said, there wasn't a peep out of him until, oh no, my team's looking at it. But even on top of that, now he's coming out and saying, well, I don't know if my ankle's ever going to be 100% again. I don't think I, you know, health wise, I'm ever going to, don't, we know you got hurt. You don't have to throw it out there in front of our face and remind us that you just got hurt. Injuries are a part of the game. It happens. Anthony Davis hadn't said anything about his injury or his multitude of injuries. He gets out there and he plays. But now we got to have some pretext. Nah, I, you know, we're not going to be as good because I don't know if I'm ever going to be 100%. I might have rushed it back. Dude, just get out there and play. You made the decision to come back and play. Play through it. We don't want to constantly hear about it. You know, it's funny how it works because, you know, Mark Cuban and Luka, they probably expected to be a 4 or 5 seed, you know, going into the season, and it hasn't gone the way they wanted it to. And now they were staring the 7 seed in the face for a long time and still could possibly end up there. And then the Lakers expected to be a 1 or 2 seed, and then they had some misfortunes happen. Whereas the flip side is, I think for most logical Grizzly fans, which we'll talk about that here in a minute, most logical Grizzlies fans, their expectation was the play-in, and they were thrilled with that. The second-year team being a 7-10 seed, that would have been ahead of schedule. Apparently a taboo phrase in Grizzlies media now. It's the perspective on it is just unique, I think, depending on what franchise expectations you have. But I think it's not going anywhere. There's too much money for the league. It does, I think, help combat tanking a little bit because you keep more teams involved longer. Like the Pelicans still have a shot. The Kings still have a shot. Do I think either one of them legitimately have a shot? No, but mathematically they do. And so I think that keeps that interest in the league for a little bit longer because, you know, later in the season when there's, you know, not many teams left in the hunt, people kind of check out until the playoffs, you know, start. And so I think it's not going anywhere. It's a good thing for the league. And LeBron and Luka can just get over it.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron, I respect everything that he's done on the court. You know, I'm not going to get into what he thinks about everything else, but I don't have a problem with LeBron. You know, I'm a Jordan guy. I'm going to say Jordan's the greatest of all time. That's me. But, you know, I can't not respect LeBron. I mean, he's taken teams that worse than the Bulls teams, any of the Bulls teams. He's taken them to the finals. I don't know if he's necessarily won a championship with a team that's been worse than any of the Jordan's first three Bulls teams. But, you know, I respect what LeBron's done on the court, but, man, just – nah. You can't be complaining about this now that your team's looking at it. You picked the wrong time to complain about this.
Yeah. Let's transition with that phrase right there, or that word, complaining. Grizzlies Twitter needs to take a chill pill, man. Like, it is – I appreciate the majority of the conversations that we have in GBB Slack because it seems to be a decent collection of level-headed – people, you got, of course, Nate Chester's in there, so level-headed goes out the window. you get Sean Coleman in the trade machine and all his
he's traded every single player in the NBA at least twice.
Yes, he has. But Sean is very, very knowledgeable. Nathan's very, very knowledgeable as well. And I think we're at pretty much a consensus within GBB Slack, which, you know, that feeds into the narrative on Twitter that GBB is a bunch of just spoon fed by the Grizzlies PR, what to say, what to do type people, which is not the case. Joe allows us our own voice, our own opportunity to express what we see, how we feel about the team and what's going forward. And it just seems like Grizzlies Twitter is the sky is falling and it's not like they're looking up and seeing something come down where there's nothing there. Where is this coming from? Like, what the heck?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a spoiled fan base. They had the grit and grind. The time in between grit and grind and Grizz Next Gen was actually pretty short for a franchise that totally rebuilt their roster. I mean, totally rebuilt. And it was just a couple years in which they went from, you know, contending for the Western Conference title, the championship. I know that was back in, what, 2013?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that was 8 years ago, but still, they were competing years after that when they weren't playing for the Western Conference Finals, but they were always good. They were always in the playoffs. And, you know, it kind of feels like that they – the fan base, some people feel like they're entitled to, well, the Grizzlies still have to be good, or, you know, it's just being okay and rebuilding is not good enough. And they expect to have a team that competes for a championship every year, even though this is a young team that's still developing. This is a front office that wants to see what they have in every player and make the wise decision on whether or not they're going to pay some of these players or not, or do something else with the money so they can bring in another piece to help them contend for a title. Because this team, we've texted back and forth. You said it's not their window right now. It's not their window. And that's fine. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., they're in their early 20s.
They can barely drink.
Yes. They can barely drink. I mean, that's how young this team is. So it's okay if – you know, the front office tries to figure out if this is going to be a guy that they want to have in their future, or, you know, see what they can get for the person. I mean, I don't get it. I understand you want to be competitive. They have been competitive. There's no denying that. I don't know how the fan base would have reacted if they just said, okay, we're going to shut Jaren Jackson down for the entire season right from the get-go. They're just like, we're going to shut him down. You know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take him back next year. And then they kind of sold at the trade deadline. They kind of sold pieces. And they just used this year as kind of a tank year. And you knew that they were not going to make the playoffs. I don't know how the fan base would handle that instead of them competing for a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, so I think a point that you made that I hadn't thought much about was the short transition time between good and where we are now. I mean, you got to think about the fact that we drafted one of our current franchise cornerstones while we still had two of the former ones still on the roster. Like, yeah. Jaren was like considered that next piece to go next to Mike and Mark to continue to contend and make the playoffs and do that. So maybe you're right that since they haven't gone through a Sacramento Kings rebuild or a Phoenix Suns type rebuild where they've been bad for years, they're just being brats, like just being spoiled little brats and letting their butt show on Twitter. And
well, some of them, the thing is like some of them did support the Grizzlies before the grit and grind era. I mean, they support them since they started. So there is that, but there's also those that kind of just, you know, they became Grizzly fans during the grit and grind era, grew up with the grit and grind era. And now they got this. And that's a short time frame of being bad. You know, you said the Sacramento Kings. You know, I'm a Raiders fan in football, unfortunately. And, you know, they made the Super Bowl while in my lifetime, but they've made the playoffs like maybe four times, five times since I've been alive.
Didn't they draft another offensive lineman?
Yeah, they draft another offensive lineman. Their first round pick could have been taken in the second round, and their second round pick fell to them. So I don't know. Especially if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Broncos, it's over. Man, you got Rodgers, Mahomes, and Herbert.
Just a hopeless fan.
But I'm just saying, like, I've dealt with it. And, you know, some of these fans, they haven't dealt with it. They had one bad year where they were just like, all right, I'm going to check out. I'll check back in with them. They get Ja Morant with the number two pick. And the Grizzlies weren't even necessarily that bad. They fell into the number two pick.
Yeah,
so
it's
that's what it is.
I don't get why it's almost like every single game triggers something, and they can't.
Oh yeah,
like GBB very specifically has an article, the long view that comes out after games, and like that's what people are not looking at, the long view. Like they're so stuck on the, you know, what's happening right now. And let's be honest. There have been some really bad losses that even in a year where you're saying this is a developmental year, like you should not have lost those games. And Jenkins was quite clearly frustrated after the last loss. But to go from game to game and nitpick what is happening to this team when they're so young, the coach is so young, like chill out. If you thought going – and, you know, I took a poll on Twitter, and 60% of the people that participated in the poll said that the play-in was their expectation. Well, that's what they're doing. Like, they are meeting, right. rational expectations. If your expectations, which some smart aleck selected the finals on that poll, if your expectation was the finals, then that's your fault that you're getting hurt right now. Because if you thought that they were going to beat the Clippers or the Lakers or the Nuggets or the Suns or the Jazz, like any of those teams, like, then you don't know a whole lot about basketball. Like, veterans matter, experience matters, and we're not there yet. And you can't expect Jaren to come back. And I see people now are starting to throw out his three-point shooting stat line like something's wrong with Jaren. He's missed so much time. Like, give him and Winslow some freaking time. Like, have some patience. They're not going to come back and be all-stars right away. Like, you know, I've been to some counseling in the past for different things that I've gone through in my life. And one of the things my counselor said is when you place expectations on somebody and they fail to meet those expectations, whose fault is that? And it made me sit there and think, and I'm like, well, it can't be their fault. They didn't ask me to put those expectations on them. It's my fault. So if these Grizzlies are not meeting your expectations for them to be a 6 seed or a 4 seed or make the finals, that's not their fault. That's your fault. They have stated from day one what their expectations and their goals are, and they are sticking to that through and through. They haven't wavered. So you are the one that needs to get with the program and just go with the flow and freaking chill and enjoy the good moments and the good high waves that we experience.
My other thing is, where was all this vitriol and hate against Justice Winslow playing the point when they swept the Trailblazers over the weekend before they got blown out by the Trailblazers? Because I didn't see many people. I did see a few people say, man, I don't know about this. Like, I'd rather have Tyus. He's a backup point guard, all this. All of a sudden, it was just boom. Everybody just went after the decision to put Justice as the backup point guard for a few games. I'm like, no one was complaining when they were winning. It's just when they lose, they're like, oh, that's why they're losing. And yeah, Justice hasn't been great, but you know, if you want to complain about something, you better start like LeBron. If you want to start complaining about something, do it before it goes against you. If you didn't like Justice as the backup point guard, don't like Justice as the backup point guard when he's winning games, when they're winning games with him. Don't pick when they're getting blown out by Denver and Portland. It's the same concept. It's the same thing. Everybody that was complaining about it sounds like LeBron James.
You want to talk about why we're losing? Let's look at the last 7 games. Dylan Brooks, 27% shooting. The win, the first one over Portland, he shot 58%. Good game for him. He scored 25 points. But then 18 points, 16 shots. And then he went 2 for 5 in the loss against Denver because he had 5 fouls. And then he went 6 for 10 in the loss against Portland because he had 5 fouls. And then he had 20 points on 18 shots and then 23 points on 20 shots. And over the last 7 games, he has 24 fouls. Okay, let's look at DeAnthony Melton. The Denver loss, we were all in love with him. But now nobody's talking about the fact that he went 28% shooting, 42% shooting, 28% shooting, 11% shooting. He had a 2 for 4 performance in the loss against Portland. And then he was 12% shooting and 30% shooting. When the wings are not playing well, collectively, we are not going to win games, period. No matter who the backup point guard is, no matter who the wings are, it seems like if they're all play well at the same time and then they all struggle at the same time. And then with no Grayson in there to maybe have a shot at somebody not struggling, it's just a recipe for disaster. You're 3-4 in your last 7, and you got your two-way wings, and Melton and Brooks have been atrocious, absolutely terrible offensively. minus one game for each one of them. And then Dylan has been fouling the crap out of people, taking dumb shots again on his own Dylan Brooks stuff. And then trying to bring Jaren back in the fold has just really screwed with the chemistry. And he's not playing particularly well as far as shooting goes.
Let me ask you this. Did you want Orlando to win Saturday night so Dylan couldn't get the kudos for making that shot?
I'm going to tell you this. I was playing softball Saturday, and I didn't see it, so I had no idea.
I just had to put you on the spot there. No, that's 100%. Like it, the people that were complaining about Grayson Allen starting or needs to get Grayson out of there are the ones that want D'Anthony Melton to start. They're not bringing these stats up. In fact, I haven't seen anything against D'Anthony Melton on Twitter that's been bad. No one's bringing it up. They're just not talking about him. That's the easiest thing to do.
Keith Parrish, Fast Break Breakfast, probably the biggest D'Anthony Melton pro candidate out there, has not said anything. Like, he's always tweeting to start Melton and tweeting his stats, and the Grizzlies are, you know, so-and-so record when Melton plays this many minutes and does this, does that. He has been radio silent.
And honestly, I want whatever lineup get out there that can win games, and that's when the Wings are hitting shots. That's the constant. I mean, Ja does his thing. I thought that he did get a little careless with the ball against Orlando at times. But, I mean, he's growing. He's learning. Jonas is going to do his thing. I mean, you know what you're going to get from those two guys. If everyone else is making shots, then that's the recipe for success. And right now, they're not making shots.
No. So let me throw this out at you. I saw this on Twitter, and I found it quite interesting, and I might even buy into it. Kyle Anderson is who you want Justice Winslow to be.
A slowed down version of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could. Yeah. I'll agree with that because yeah, Kyle is slow-mo version of Winslow. I mean, yeah. That's really what what you want Winslow to be. He's good on defense. He can do a little bit of everything. He can handle the ball. If you could do that with Winslow's athleticism and speed, that'd be perfect. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah. So do we have a situation where we have some redundancy in talent? Like, do we, going forward, see a roster that needs both Anderson and Winslow on it?
I never thought I would say this. But if I had to choose, don't think that there could be.
It's yeah, Kyle.
It is.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the season, I was like, trade deadline, you know, we'll move Kyle and Gorgie. And it's been the constant. And, like, I'm fine with seeing what the Grizzlies have with Winslow. But if this is what it's going to be, then, yeah, it's Kyle, 100%.
So are you bothered by the forcing of Winslow into these lineups just to see for data accumulation, which is a trigger word?
No. He's been injured all season. Like, when were you going to do it?
And they said in the bubble practices before he got hurt, like, he looked incredible. So why would you not give him that chance to have a whole off season of doing basketball things and not rehab things like Kyle Anderson had this last off season? Where he wasn't dealing with that shoulder, and look what he's come back and done. Like, so let me ask you this. You're Zach Kleiman. Are you picking up Winslow's option this offseason?
What is it, $8 million? Is it, 13. Or how much is it? 13.
There's nothing on the free agent market. There's nothing out there.
Might as well. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You might as well. And if he does great, then it's awesome. If he does poorly, you can ship him off as a tradable contract for an expiring and you know, see what happens, or maybe a change of scenery for him will, you know, whatever. He's still going to be a plus defensively for somebody. He's got that contract in that trade range that he can be used to match something. I think
he just doesn't need to shoot as much.
Yeah. I turned on the game. I think I started, it was Friday's game, and I saw him come in. And he, like, jacked two threes in a row. And I'm just like, hold up now. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, slow it down. All right. I told you this before we started. I'm going to play a little game. Is it a coincidence or not? And you don't know the questions.
I don't know the question. I'm a little nervous about this because I don't know what's coming next.
Is it a coincidence that the Grizzlies lost and Brandon Clark picked up a DNP CD?
Oh, that's a tough one. No. Brandon Clark hadn't been good and he's been injured. I'm fine with him sitting. I don't know if they would have – the Brandon Clark that I've seen in the past few games leading up to Orlando, I know he played the night before. I don't know if he would have been able to stop that comeback from Orlando Saturday night. I don't think he would have made that much of a difference.
So I didn't see Saturday's game, so I don't know, you know, what Tillman looked like. I don't know what Winslow and Anderson looked like. But I would say that it is a coincidence that it happened, because what you're saying is that Clark wouldn't have had an effect.
Sorry. Yeah, it's a coincidence. My bad.
I'd agree with you.
It wasn't the reason. Wasn't the reason why they lost. Yes.
Is it a coincidence that we are 3-4 in our last 7 games, and Brooks' shooting volume and foul count has gone up?
No, I'm gonna get this one right on what a coincidence is. I'm sorry, I'm super tired right now. No. It's not a coincidence. It's something that, I mean, I know that you brought it up beginning of the season. Like, if he could keep his fouls down and score, you know, his 15 to 18 on, you know, 10 to 12 shots, that's even too much sometimes. But if he can keep his shot volume down, his fouls down, you're fine with him. But if he's missing shots and taking way too many of them and getting too many fouls, I mean, that's not going to be that's not good.
All right. Is it a coincidence that we've been struggling the way we have without Grayson Allen?
Yeah. I would say it is a coincidence. I mean, it's – no one's been playing well. And he wasn't playing well before he got injured, let's be honest. He was struggling a little bit too. He was – all of them are. So I don't necessarily think that I don't know. I can't say if he would have been helped them. Maybe they would have beaten Orlando the second time. Maybe.
So something that you made me think of, that was my last one, that people are forgetting about is fatigue is a real factor. Like, they are in such a condensed schedule right now in the midst of it at the end of the season. A lot of these are young guys that haven't played this many games in the league, like Tillman and Bane. Morant didn't play a full season last year. I don't think Jackson's ever played a full season. Granted, he's only played a couple of games, but like, these guys are tired. And like, when you're tired, what's the first thing to go? Your freaking jump shot. And when you're not knocking down jump shots in the NBA, like, you're not going to win very many games. I think they did a better job of feeding Valanciunas on those nights where they're struggling to shoot. You know, he should be the one taking 20 shots, not Dylan Brooks. So the last thing that I guess I want to roll with is, do you think that the Winslow over Tyus and the Jaren, re-entry into the lineup has really killed the chemistry that much? Or is it just the case of, it's late in the season and the different rotations may be messing with some stuff? Like, what do you think the correlation is between Tyus losing his minutes, Jaren coming back in? Like, is that a big factor to you?
I think it's a little bit of a factor, because it's just comfortability of playing with other guys at certain positions. You know, you play with Tyus as a point guard. I mean, you play with Tyus as the backup point guard. You're used to that. You know where to be, where he's going to be and stuff like that. You got Justice in there. He's a little bit of different, you know, he's not doing what Tyus is doing. And, you know, you're used to playing with Justice, but you're not used to playing with Justice as a point guard or a ball handler. And you insert Jaren in there, and then you got so many other things to take into consideration, because he is a guy, he is a focal point of the offense, and, or he needs to be a focal point of the offense. And I think there's a lot of things going into it right now, whereas I rather Taylor Jenkins tinker with the lineups while Jaren's getting back into it rather than taking one step at a time. Just do it all at once. I'm fine with it. I know a lot of people aren't, because you're losing games like you did Saturday night. Honestly, I think there was no excuse for that loss. They should have won that game. You're up 20 in the third quarter. You're looking good. I had a problem with Kyle Anderson not taking more shots. He was in his bag that game. He was doing everything. He was knocking down threes. He was controlling the game, and he just kind of took the foot off the pedal for him, and he was looking to get other guys involved, and that's great. But when you're the guy that's knocking shots down, and you're the reason why one of the big reasons why the Grizzlies are up 20, you got to find ways to get him the ball, and he doesn't need to be as unselfish as he tends to be at times.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jenkins, for one of the first times ever, was so visibly frustrated, because I think that was one of the losses where, plan or not, development season or not, like, that's one that you can't drop and you shouldn't drop. And I think he knew that after that game. So they've got to do what they do and beat somebody they're not supposed to make up for that, because we've been given favors. The Spurs, they've been trying to catch, and we've gotten lucky with them, and the Warriors, we've gotten lucky with them. Minnesota all of a sudden wants to start beating teams, which is not good for us, because we're playing them soon. So we're doing this. The Grizz and the Knicks are going to tip off in probably about 10 minutes. So let's talk Bet the Bear and get out of here. So what you got?
Well, I think the game – last time I checked, it was the Knicks. The Grizzlies are favored by 4 against the Knicks. I'm taking the Knicks. Maybe this is because every time I take the Grizzlies on here, they lose. So, but the Knicks have been really good against the spread overall. Right, that too. And the Knicks have been really, really, really good against the spread lately. And I've – won a lot of money betting on the Knicks over the last 3 weeks. In fact, Saturday I went 6-1-1 on my NBA picks. My only loss, the Grizzlies.
Oh.
I was rooting for overtime, because in overtime I was like, at least I get 5 more minutes to get that 11.5 point spread. I was feeling good halfway through the third. But I'm taking the Knicks tonight +4. Maybe the Grizzlies still win a close one. That'd be great. Get best of both worlds there. Wednesday, they got the Timberwolves in Minnesota. The Timberwolves are 14-17-2 at home against the spread. Over under, they're 34-31. I'm guessing the Grizzlies will be favored by probably, depending on what they do tonight, but I'm guessing they'll be favored by probably 6.5. The way Minnesota's been playing lately, the way the Grizzlies have been playing lately, Grizzlies are a better team by far, but Minnesota's been playing some decent basketball. They got Detroit on Thursday. Detroit's 16-12-1 against the spread at home, 30-34 over and under, and they're 1-4 against the spread in their last 5. And currently, they are losing to Orlando by 12. So they're going to be 1-5 against the spread in their last 6. The Grizzlies should be favored by double digits, even though they're on the road. Detroit's not been good. They have a lot of injuries, and I just don't see Detroit. It's a game that the Grizzlies should be in control of from the tip. We'll see. Raptors Saturday on the road. Raptors are 15-17 against the spread at home. Over under 35-30. It's going to be a close one on the spread, I'm guessing. Toronto might actually be favored in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if they're favored by maybe 1.5, 2 at home. They just beat the Lakers. That's what kind of triggered LeBron James into talking about the play-in game. And then Monday, I don't even know if I should throw all the records out the window. They're playing the Pelicans at home on Monday. I can't take the Grizzlies against the Pelicans, even if they are. And they're at home. They play better on the road. I bet the Grizzlies are favored in this one, just because Vegas gives the home team usually about 3 points. Grizzlies better record-wise. I think they're better than the Pelicans, but the Pelicans have their number. So my advice, if you can catch some points and take the Pelicans, I would.
Yeah, so you really want the Lakers to win all of these straight up that you listed. You think that they have a chance to win all of these straight up, but the Knicks have been very good. The Minnesota's been playing better of late. Detroit, if the Grizzlies do what they do and play down to the level of competition, they could, you know, they have enough talent to beat you. And then Toronto, man, Kyle Lowry is still Kyle Lowry. And so Toronto is going to be a tough one. And yeah, the Pelicans, whatever it is, man, that we just don't beat them. So bet the bear at your own risk.
Right. Grizzlies had been pretty good. Pretty good bet up until recently, but right now, I can't justify taking them in anything.
Yeah, they need to show something.
One time
soon.
I did, I lost.
Yeah. So, I don't feel bad for beating your brains in the semifinals of the Grizzly Bear Blues Fantasy Basketball League. I
need to fix that scoring system. Zion got more fantasy points for you. Zion got more points than Luka when Luka put up 33 and then 20 assists, had a triple double with 33 points, 20 assists, and one turnover.
Well,
Zion had 37 points, but
Luka
still
must have had a bunch of missed shots.
Come on, man! He had a triple double. Hey. Zion didn't even get a double double that night.
Shout out to Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah, whatever. You had a feeling.
86. I text Ben after he dropped a 50-point game. I said, I had a feeling. He's like, no, you didn't. Shut up.
Yeah. It's like, you can have a feeling that he might put up some points. You can't have a feeling that he's going to put up a 50 spot. That's like, is that the most random one in the NBA besides Tony Delk back in the day?
That's pretty random. But I did tell you, my feeling was somebody in Houston had to score, and I thought it was going to be him. And he really hasn't since then, so –
You got up at the right time. Maybe you can get a victory. But I thought it was, man, just injuries. Luka taking that one night off. I mean, I know I wouldn't have won, but I was playing mix and match at my shooting guard, because my other two, Zach LaVine and Oladipo, were on my IR, and I didn't have a third. So I was just whatever waiver wire was out there. Kevin Porter wasn't available, so I had to pick up whatever was there.
Oh, I also snagged Seth Curry, and he had a couple of big games.
Yeah, he's been playing well for Philly.
So I think going into the championship game, Jaylen Brown, him and Jason Tatum collided last night. I don't know what the diagnosis is on those two, but if I'm down Brown, that's going to hurt. But he's down James Harden, so that's helpful. So here's my secret. Here's what I did that I think is going to win it for me. I picked up Isaiah Stewart for the Detroit Pistons, and here's why. They play five games this week, so I'm going to get a lot of run out of him. So
the Knicks didn't – I think they played three games last week. That hurt me as well with Julius Randle. That because I kept saying – I was like, when did the Knicks play again? Like, I kept looking to insert him back in the lineup. I'm like, off what? So, yeah. That's a good call. I have Isaiah. I have him in my my other league, and he did well. That league, I did not make. I made the playoffs. I got beat in the first round, but still.
Yeah. Well,
it's tough.
Hopefully the Grizz figure something out tonight at home against the Knicks. I would agree with you. I'm probably taking Knicks plus four. Kind of wild to me that Vegas has given Grizzlies a 4-point favorite when they've been terrible at home and they've been terrible of late, and the Knicks have been hot. But maybe they know something we don't. So we'll see. But
it's a trap.
It is a trap. Cue the Admiral Akbar. all right, Ben, get you some rest. I know the baby gave you a run for your money today.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe I'll figure out. Maybe I'll bring a dictionary with me next time.
For coincidence. All right. Well, for Ben, I'm Justin. We'll catch you guys next week.